You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The wedding date was set and the caterer was hired, but then everything blew up. Just before the grand celebration, the groom got cold feet and he backed out. What a mess. The bride had already paid the caterer $4,000 for the meal, and she could not get her money back. So the bride in Norwalk, Connecticut, decided to salvage everything that she could. The money she had paid for the caterer, as we mentioned, was non-refundable. So the bride said to herself, why waste all the food? Why not give it to the poor and to the needy? And so she contacted her maid of honor and said, go out to the shelters for the homeless and invite everyone, she said. Invite the drug addicts, the streetwalkers, invite the bums, and especially the homeless. And they did come. Many of the poor and the dispossessed came to that feast, and they had a grand celebration. This is, of course, a true story, and I'm sure it sounds interesting and even surprising. But the idea is certainly not unique. Using a parable, Jesus told about a similar event. A certain man, Jesus said, was giving a big dinner. Many people were invited, and at the dinner hour, the man sent out his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. The grand event was about to begin. But this man in the Bible, like the bride in Connecticut, was in for a shock. The guests who were invited first were not interested. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please excuse me too. Finally, another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. So the slave returned to his master empty-handed. He reported all the excuses as to why people said they could not come to the great feast and the celebration. Then the Bible says, the head of the household became very, very angry. He said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. The slave said, Master, what you have commanded has already been done, and there still is room. And the master then said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. The lesson of this parable of Christ, of course, is clear. Those whom God first called, those whom he first chose, they turned down his invitation. And so then God called others to that banquet. Those originally invited but refused to come, they will not be part of God's eternal heavenly banquet. On Judgment Day, the gates of paradise will be closed unto them. And what a solemn warning this is for us today. We are faced with a similar situation in our society. Regularly, we read and hear about scores of individuals who in past years were active in religion and the church. God's grace certainly had touched them. He called them early in life. He invited them to his great banquet feast. But now these same people, as they have become adults, they have changed. They have become totally indifferent, and instead of attending church and worshiping God, all one hears now from their lips is one excuse after the other. For example, in a national religious survey released in September of 1990, it was revealed that most people, that is, over 85% of the United States population, had received at least some religious training when they were children. And the terrible tragedy and the great deep disappointment is that these same people who are now adults have become indifferent and even defiant toward God in weekly worship. This is not merely my opinion. Let me quote directly from one of the most prestigious research organizations. These research scholars state that, and I quote, "Thousands of people today obviously do not reflect the wonderful Bible-based Sunday school preparation that they received as children." And also, because of our present situation in society, our text for today is 100% relevant to us. Jesus said that a man gave a feast. The people who were initially invited had all kinds of excuses. And isn't this the way it is so often in our generation? Many who are now adults were called by God in their childhood. Thousands upon thousands are there who 10 and 20 and 30 years ago went regularly to Sunday school, but now they no longer darken the doorway of a church. If you are one of those, then please listen to the Lord as He lovingly calls to you again. In the parable, Jesus states, "For I tell you, none of those who were invited and turned me down will taste of my dinner." Of course, some say, but there is hope. It lies in our youth. Yes, we will agree, there is hope in our youth, and no one wishes to discourage our young people. But the brutal fact is still this. 2/3 of all college students claim to be members of a church. However, recent research reveals that very few of these same students attend weekly worship services. Of course, we know that once these students graduate and marry and have families, and some of them, yes, some of them will go back to church regularly, but many others simply will not. They will be like those initially spoken of in our text for today. They will develop all types of nice-sounding excuses to drop out of weekly worship. Through their upbringing, through the many wonderful Bible-based Sunday school stories, they have certainly heard about the great wedding feast of heaven. However, as they have grown older, the temptations of this life and the laziness of the flesh have become so strong that their belief and faith in God has taken a backseat. In fact, in most cases, this early faith has totally disappeared. So, my friend, today, if you are one of those who has heard God's gracious invitation early in life, and if months or years ago you used to enjoy worshiping God, but now you find it quite irrelevant, then before it's too late, and while God is still holding open His arms of grace, it would be best if you would rethink the parable that Jesus told. Jesus spoke about those who once knew the faith. He told how they who once knew the faith now have all kinds of excuses. And Jesus also noted that they are the ones who are going to be left out of God's eternal kingdom. But the parable of Jesus contains more than just the deep-cutting action of the law of God. The focus and the center of this gospel-oriented parable outlines God's unexplainable mercy. No matter who you are, no matter who you are at the moment, and no matter how far you have fallen away, there is still time for you to become included in God's great eternal kingdom of forgiveness and hope and joy. Indeed, my friends, let the tender words of the blessed Lord Jesus and His gracious promises touch and comfort your anxious heart. By God's enabling Spirit, get rid of all your feelings of failure and instead look at yourself the way God wants you to be seen. Your bank account may be empty, your clothes may be secondhand, but the Lord still loves you with a perfect love. In the eyes of your neighbors or even in the minds of your closest friends, you may have accomplished very little in this life. But never mind all these callous critics. God does not look at you this way. And in His holy word, God is inviting you to come to Him just as you are. God desires that you dine forever at His table of everlasting manna. No, you and I are not qualified. We are not qualified to sit at this great feast because of what we have done or because of who we are. In our sin and weaknesses, the blessed Lord has qualified us to sit at His table simply because of his unexplainable grace. And this grace is seen more clearly as we meditate upon the crucifixion cross. The Apostle John reminds us of this when he says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In his unfathomable mercy, our Heavenly Father arranged for his only Son to substitute for your failures and mine on the cross. Yes, my friend, it was on the cross that Jesus qualified you to inherit God's eternal blessing, as the blood of the crucified Savior ran down that rugged cross. This blood from the wounds of Christ washed clean all of your sins and all of your failures. And for this reason, then, every century, the true church of our Savior has always confidently confessed, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin." So then, my friend, if you are one of those many thousands who months or even years ago went regularly to Sunday school, but now religion and God and Jesus has very little impact on your life, then I would strongly encourage you to listen to the loving admonition of your gracious God. There is still time for you to change. There is still time for you to return unto God and to worship Him. God in His grace is still waiting. On the solemn day of judgment, may the Lord not have to say to you, "For I tell you, many of those, including you, who were initially invited as Sunday school children, but later fell away, now you shall not enter into my kingdom and enjoy the eternal feast." These individuals shall not enter because in their adult life they claimed to be religious, but instead their laziness for worship and through their indifference, they actually rejected me. Oh, my friend, if this sounds like your life, don't despair. For even if in your adult years you have fallen away from God, there is still time for you to return. God is demanding of you no monetary payment. God requires no perfection of life. He expects nothing except a broken spirit over your sins of the past. Into His blessed arms, the loving Lord will take you and He will hold you. Like a father loves his son, so also God loves you. You are His. You belong to Him. And so don't be ashamed to confess your sins and your failures, and don't delay your return unto God. Leave the bleakness and the darkness of all your unconfessed sins behind you and enter into a new day as you walk with your Savior in a new and a special relationship. Through faith, your crucified and resurrected Redeemer will then establish for you a permanent bond with your spirit. Never will He leave you, and always will He protect you. And so then, my friend, it may well be time for you to seriously rethink your life. And if you are one of the over 85% of our culture who enjoyed a religious upbringing as a child, but who now could not care less about weekly worship, then it is time for you to take God seriously. Last year, newspapers carried the story of a man from Miami who was arrested. 43 years ago, he murdered another man, and for almost a half century, he evaded the authorities. All during these decades, this man lived with a troubled conscience and a heart burdened with guilt indescribable. Finally, after being on the run for almost 50 years, this man was arrested. Now, this story may not exactly describe your life, and most likely you have not murdered anyone. But you may understand also, at least a little bit, how this man must have felt. Years ago, you too may have done something or said something that you now deeply regret. And you have never confessed your sins because you are too ashamed. And because of your lingering guilt, you may even wonder whether or not God will accept you on Judgment Day. The answer to that question for you today can be a solid yes. Listen again as the master tells his slave, "Go out, Go out and invite people to the eternal banquet feast. Go along the highways, he said, and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This, my friend, includes you also. And so whether it is the sin of cheating on your income tax, whether it is your sin of speeding on the highway, or mistreating your family, or thinking evil thoughts, let all these sins of yours fall forever behind you. And if you are burdened with the fact that you do not pray daily, or that you have sinned by skipping weekly worship services, or that you are too lazy to have daily devotions, then with a repentant heart, determined by the power of God to start over, and from this day forward, focus your future not on your failures, but on the life-giving cross of Calvary and the sin-cleansing blood of the wounds of our blessed Savior. Our text for today, a powerful parable, packs a deathly spiritual punch for all those who believe that God can be fooled by excuses. You have heard them, and I have heard them. Some say, I don't have time for church. Or others say, the preacher turns me off instead of on. Money, 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 money. All the church ever wants is money. These lame excuses may sound good to us, but if you and I take the Bible seriously, we surely know that God is not impressed by any of these excuses. In fact, God is not even listening. And so then, as you and I rethink our text for today, and as you contemplate the love that God has for us in spite of our many sins and failures and excuses, let us take our Bible and turn to Psalm 51. In sincere repentance and faith, let us pray with the psalmist as he says, Be gracious unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, O Lord, against thee only have I sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, O God, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We pray, O Lord our God, may these words of the psalmist be the prayer of every repentant heart listening today, and grant unto all listeners at this hour help and hope, absolute and total forgiveness, and your everlasting mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.